Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Sage Advice with Phoebe.
That's the show we should be doing. Yes. We'll just call it Sage Advice. Another episode of Sage Advice.
Sage Advice. If you haven't heard the last episode of the Entertainment Now podcast, go back and listen to it, because I fucking died laughing. What's going on again?
Nothing. I have zero sage advice.
He has zero sage advice?
Zero.
I will say that, are you familiar with Jack Osborne's work?
Yes. For not all of it, but a good chunk of it.
Okay. So apparently he's like this big, like ghost hunter kind of person.
Yeah, I've watched his show. Yep. Portals to Hell I've watched. I've watched the Osbournes Believe, which is just him and his dad and his mom watching like shit off the internet that's paranormal possibly or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually Ozzy's the voice of reason, if that makes any sense at all.
So he was on Jamie Kennedy's podcast recently.
Okay.
Well, I think it was earlier this year, but it was for a long time. It was only available through Jamie Kennedy's
Patreon.
Mm-hmm. So he made it available just recently on his regular YouTube channel. And I have to say that Jack Osborne and Jamie Kennedy are fucking crazy. Like I knew Jack Osborne was more like he had some libertarian kind of thoughts and things like that. He's a big gun guy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the level of like they go down this like delusional path about they're talking about interdimensional beings. Mm-hmm. They're talking about werewolves being real. Uh-huh. They're talking about skinwalkers. Uh-huh. Like it was really fucking out there to listen to their conversation.
You've just basically listed off the vast majority of the programming for the Travel Channel around say September to November.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Jamie Kennedy believes that vampires are a real thing. Yeah. They believe in aliens. I believe in aliens also, but
well, say okay. Mathematically speaking, the universe is teeming with life. Mathematically speaking, the thing is that any advanced civilization is not going to come here and hover around us.
Yeah. So they said that there's this one part of the U.S. where there seems to be a lot of UFO sightings, and they said it's because the atmosphere there works as like the hook on the deck of a naval. What's the big base in the aircraft carrier? They said so. The UFOs come in, and the atmosphere like hooks them and slows them down. So that's why there's so much UFO sightings in this one particular area.
First of all, the atmosphere is the same across the planet. You might get dips in pressure and
I don't remember if it was like exactly that. Like atmosphere, but there's something in that area that like hooks them. They're a spacecraft and
could
slows
it,
them
could
down.
Could it be that it's an area of the United States that perhaps has lower quality education?
Maybe.
Maybe a slightly higher average of inbreeding? I don't know. Maybe. Throwing it out there.
They really lost me when they started talking about skinwalkers and things like that.
It's, like I said, you just listed off the half of the, not just Travel Channel, but regular Discovery, Destination America, and maybe even the History Channel.
Yeah.
From September till at least November, that's when you get a big burst of shows like, you know, Hunting Bigfoot and, you know, all the ghost shows. And then, you know, Tales from Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes.
You know, it's like
they did talk about Skinwalker Ranch also.
Yeah, it's a big one. See, the thing is, this is what bothers me the most about that kind of stuff. Because I watch those shows for fun. I enjoy them. The Skinwalker Ranch one is the one that all of the shows have gone to. And it is so confusing to me that they go there and they're getting evidence of ghosts and aliens.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe it's just me, but my mind can't. If aliens are real, then our scientific understanding of life in terms of we're born, we die, and that's it, is pretty much a given. In a sense, not because you can't be certain about anything, but there can't be like this whole spiritual side of things as at least as we understand it.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't equate to the aliens as well. It would have to be universal. And it wouldn't be. So I can't reconcile aliens and ghosts in the same story. You know, in the same thing.
So this is how they explain it, is aliens come from, obviously, another planet. Mm-hmm. But Jack said that there's multiple dimensions within our world.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghosts live in a different alternate
dimension. That sometimes breaks through to ours.
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't know that's what he was saying, but I knew that's where it was going because I watch these shows too. It's fine as shows. And like I said, I enjoy watching them. They're funny to me. They're entertaining. And I usually spend half the episode going, but,
yeah.
You know, the thing is that out of all of them, even the crazy level that he's going to makes me feel a little bit better about him because I at least, whether or not it's true, because it's not. I mean, it's very unlikely it's true. Any of it is true. But at least he's a true believer.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are not. They're just putting on a show because they know the ghost shows get views.
They sell.
And they sell, they sell ad revenue. So.
But the interesting thing is, like, Jack was even talking about how, like, ghosts follow him home. And he has to tell the ghosts. He said he was in his daughter's room one night and, like, this door swung open and he had to tell the ghost that he's allowed in their space, but they're not allowed in his space, and they needed to leave. And this is like an hour and a half long conversation.
Right.
That was just part of it that they talked about. But that aspect, that part of that conversation, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like,
well, like I said, Jack Osborne had the show Portals to Hell. I think he did 3 seasons of that, and that was just ghost hunting.
Yeah.
So he's doing ghost hunting. And then the show with his dad and his mom, like I said, they're just looking at like stuff that's on YouTube and shit, UFOs and, you know, cryptids, like Bigfoot, skinwalkers, that kind of stuff. Oh, and he'll talk to them about where, the origin of the video and, some of the stuff. And they'll go, well, what do you think? And usually Sharon's like kind of, wishy-washy about it. Usually Ozzy's like, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're the voice of reason, Ozzy. Yeah. You really are.
I will say that Ozzy is the voice of reason. Ozzy is like the everyman. So I've been
I've been
watching their. Do you watch their podcast?
I've seen clips, but I've never gotten around to watching a whole episode.
So their podcast is on their YouTube channel every Tuesday, right. And I've been trying to watch. I've been watching it for like at least the last month or so.
Because I want to watch it. I want to catch
it. It's actually really fucking entertaining because they are genuinely like,
just talking.
They're just normal fucking people, right. For the most part. But they had this one episode where they were doing, actually it was a 2-part episode, so they did it over 2 weeks, where they were doing like a political spectrum conversation. So Kelly would read a question, and then the other three would respond to it with what they thought about it. And she even told them like at the beginning, you don't need to go into depth with your answer if you don't want to.
Right.
But one of the questions was they were asking about, limits on abortion. And they come to Ozzy, and Ozzy's like, his fucking answer was, I don't have a vagina, so I don't have an opinion.
Right.
And I was like, fuck yeah, Ozzy.
I know, and that's funny because that's kind of, say what you want about the business side of the Ozzy Osbourne image.
Yeah.
Ozzy himself is really just the everyman.
Yeah.
He really is. He always has been.
Yeah.
My favorite story of him was Tony Iommi was telling the story. Black Sabbath had been invited to this gala where the Queen was going to be.
Yeah.
And,
Which in the 70s was a big fucking deal.
No, this was in the late 90s, really? Early 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This was late. They were old. And, they're getting ready to go there, and they're going to meet the Queen. And Tony's like, look, Ozzy, you got to watch what you say. You can't curse or anything. Just watch your language. And he goes, what the fuck am I supposed to talk about then? And it's just so real.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, there's no ego there. Yeah. It's just from, this is how I fucking talk, And I just love that. It's my favorite story of him.
I will say that it's like, I've been watching Ozzy for 20 years.
Right. For me, it's even longer in terms of
just
being a fan of his music and stuff.
Yeah. But I'm talking like listening to him talk.
Right.
He has now gotten to the point where it's hard for him to fucking, it's hard to understand him.
Right. The Parkinson's is getting bad.
Yeah. Sometimes like Kelly or Sharon will have to kind of reiterate what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But
have you heard that song that he did for that? I can't remember the name of the artist, the guitarist. It's on the guy's solo album, and Ozzy sings on it. The song's called Crack Cocaine. It's really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You check it out on Spotify. It's or whatever your.
Whatever your streaming service is.
I mean, it just sounds like an Ozzy song, and you know, but it's a good song. It's Ozzy singing, and I don't know why he doesn't just keep putting out albums, because he can still do that.
Yeah, it's probably pretty hard for him. I will say that the Osbournes are apparently working on their own streaming service. Hmm. It's going to have all of their content. I don't see it succeeding.
No, we don't live in that world. Yeah. I mean, there's already too many streaming services. Yeah. As much as it been from a business point of view, it makes sense to do that because all of that money is yours. Yeah. It's all.
So I guess, that was the other thing that Jack was talking about during the podcast was how they kind of screwed over MTV. So they went through and did the entire first season of the Osbournes. Mm-hmm. And, well, they went and recorded it all. And then when it went to premiere, I guess MTV or whoever the main producer was for the show realized that they never had the Osbournes sign release agreements for the entire fucking season. So the Osbournes so Sharon basically went in there and was like, we're going to name our fucking price and we're going to keep ownership. That's why the Osbournes, none of their seasons or episodes are available on any
streaming
service. It's not on any streaming service.
Right.
It's not available on MTV. They don't get replayed on MTV because the Osbournes own all of it. So that's what their plan is. They're doing, they're going to, I think it's all going to be 4K or at least like high def, whatever it is. That'll all be available on there. I'm sure they'll have all Jack's shows and stuff on there too.
Well, but it depends. I mean, those shows were produced for like the Travel Channel and all that. So who knows if how much ownership he'd have on that.
Knowing Sharon, they'll have
at least licensing rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I never really watched. I've seen clips of that too. The show Jack and Ozzy and Jack's World Tour or whatever.
I only saw a couple of episodes.
Yeah, where they just kind of go around and look at like historical stuff. Yeah. I heard that was pretty good, but
I guess so. After the Osbournes ended, Jack, it was actually showing. I guess all over the world except for the U.S., he had like a outdoorsman like survival show for 6 years.
Wow.
And he said it was really popular. It was shown everywhere. He said it was like in 130 countries except for the U.S. It was not shown in the U.S. Hmm. So he did that for a long time. But, you know, he's kind of ventured off into the deep end, I think.
The ghost stuff.
But the other thing was they went off on this big, long rant about how, you know, Rage Against the Machine is like pro-vaccine. And, you know, Jack, of course, says that he regrets getting the COVID vaccine now and all of a sudden.
Why?
I don't know.
How do you regret not getting fucking sick?
I know.
He's already in a position where he's vulnerable because he's got MS, right?
Does he?
Yeah, I believe he's got MS. He was diagnosed like 10, 15 years ago.
I think it's
MS.
That part of the conversation came off as very much like Rich spoiled... Or spoiled little rich kid.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, because even
the way that Jamie Kennedy was talking, like I said, Rage Against the Machine. Jamie Kennedy was going off on Neil Young and his battle. They're both big Joe Rogan guys and all that stuff. So
yeah, he was diagnosed with MS in 2012.
Okay, okay. So yeah, I mean,
he's probably doing okay.
Well, yeah.
But you know. Theoretically, he's a high-risk person. You want to get the fucking vaccine.
Yeah, so they went off on it wasn't a big, like, anti-vaccine kind of rant, but I could definitely tell, you could tell from their conversations what their beliefs were.
Right.
So but that was kind of disappointing to see that, but the one thing that Jack Osbourne has this really interesting viewpoint that not a lot of people have when it comes to the music industry, though. Mm-hmm. Because he grew up on the road. So he was talking about how, because they were talking about the whole Taylor Swift crashing, how her fans crashed Ticketmaster last year, the year before, whenever it was. They both believe that was all done intentionally for publicity, which I 100% don't fucking agree with that. Right. It was very much Taylor Swift fans crashing the Ticketmaster.
Well, it's not the first time that Ticketmaster had crashed.
No, but they said, well, there's other big artists too. They said Coldplay. Coldplay's fans don't crash Ticketmaster. I'm like,
Coldplay? That's because Coldplay fans, it takes them 20 minutes to walk to the to their computer. Yes.
Yeah.
And probably have to go through all their, like, you know, emo stuff to get to it.
You know? Yeah. So, but, you know, when you have this conspiracy mind, your mind is going to go that way. And they're very much both conspiracy people. So I understand all that. But he was talking about how pretty much any major artist, when tickets, before tickets even go on sale, they have an agreement with the venue that the artist gets the first, say, like 10 rows of seats.
Right.
And then what they do is after everything sells out or while it's all selling out, the artist or their management team releases those tickets at an inflated price.
Right.
So the artist can make more money off those seats, which I think that's bullshit. That's inflating ticket prices for your concerts.
Correct.
And if that's with Taylor Swift, I mean, you're talking millions of fucking dollars extra you're making off of that.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, in an era, not necessarily right now, but prior to now, we know that most of the revenue that artists were making, say early 2000s till maybe like 2015, because they weren't making any money on record sales,
at all. Yeah,
their main revenue was live shows. So from that perspective, I can see there being a reason to have those tickets available and have them and be able to get a little extra cash out of them.
Yeah,
a little extra. And to be fair, I mean, ticket prices really haven't shot up until the last, say,
3 years?
3 to 5 years.
Yeah, 3 to 5 years.
Because
outside of, like, I remember, like, the Billy Joel, who's the big tour he did with?
Elton John.
Yeah, Elton John. The tickets like that have always been, those have been expensive for 20 years.
Back in 94, I remember there being a big hubbub about the Stones.
Yeah.
Because they were going on tour to support Bridges to Babylon. Yeah. And they were selling like nosebleed seats for $100, which in 1994 was a lot of money. So,
because I think in 1997, I think I paid $24 to see Aerosmith, and that was a lot of money.
And that was a lot of money. We paid $12 for lawn tickets.
Yeah.
At Pine Knob. Yeah. That was the going rate for lawn seats. $12. So the gouging that we're seeing now is not a long term thing. So what Jack is talking about probably was just a way to kind of pad out income for artists throughout the year. Now it's like you said, it's gouging. It's
gouging because you're taking
advantage of your situation.
You know, $200 to $240 seats, and you're turning around and selling them for $1,000 or more.
Right. So, well, I told you I was looking at Counting Crows, but it was their support for Santana. The first 10 rows going for $400.
Yeah.
Which, if I was rich, I would consider doing, but not to see Santana. Don't get me wrong, I like Santana, but
I remember
paying $400 to see Santana.
Last year when Mandy and I went and saw Blink, that was the first, the reunion tour for Blink. That was the first time in...
All three of them have been together.
All three of them have been together since 2014, I think, was the last time they toured together. You know, so it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I could have paid... You know, $500 or $600 a piece for pit tickets.
Right.
As much as I love Blink-182, there's no way in fucking hell I could do that. I think we ended up spending, I think it was $250 a piece, and we were like two sections back behind the pit. We had great seats. They're coming in. They're touring this year. Mm-hmm. Me and I are going to go see them again. We kind of sat close last year. I'm not sitting as close this year. I'm not going to spend more than, I think we're paying $140
right,
a ticket.
Right,
which
now
isn't
seems
bad.
To be about the going rate for, you know, mid-level tickets.
And we are like, we're still in the first row of the lower bowl.
Right.
So, I mean, we've got okay seats. But, I mean, it's like, I as much, even though I can spend the money, I don't want to spend the money on those kind of tickets.
Well, and I got kind of spoiled with Tull because, I mean, obviously Tull can sell out a theater. But they're not like arena.
They're not selling out arenas.
They're not
anymore.
Selling out arenas. But I had second row from the stage. We were in the pit second row. I could touch the stage. I could stand up and reach out and touch the stage.
Yeah.
We paid $80 for those tickets.
Yeah.
You know.
And what year was that, though?
2000.
Yeah.
So, but that's my point. I mean, I'm not saying that it's like those tickets now would be $150, $200.
Probably more than that.
Eh, not for Tull, but.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to say, but, you know. Well, you might be right, because the last show we went to was the most we'd ever paid, and we didn't have, I mean, we had decent seats. We were probably like 15 rows back from the stage, and that's including the pit. So the pit plus maybe 7 rows.
Yeah.
And those were like $150, I think.
Yeah, so probably.
Yeah, maybe $300 for those tickets now for, yeah, you know, second row from the stage.
I don't know. It was just, he had some really interesting points that he made about the music industry and stuff like that. But yeah, when they started going on, like, but the anti-vaccine stuff and the whole skinwalkers and all that crazy bullshit. That's when I was like, yeah, I'm kind of over this conversation. But
to be fair, as a skeptic and you know, a person who doesn't believe in any of the paranormal silliness, I can't say it doesn't exist. And there's a lot of weird shit that happens in the world that can't be explained.
Yeah.
But shoehorning in that can't be explained, therefore it must be a ghost, or therefore it must be a skinwalker, or therefore it must be aliens. You can't do that and still be rational.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, yes, that's weird, that's unexplained, don't know what it is.
It could be aliens. It
could be, yeah. But it could shoehorning be all that stuff in, and then shoehorning in also this apparent understanding of how the universe works.
Yeah.
How can you prove that there's multiple dimensions?
Yeah, I know.
When scientists can't do it.
I know.
And then you create this whole story around it, like, well, this is where they live and this is how they... How can you know that? You can't know that.
No, you're just throwing shit at the
wall. You're making it up based on what you think you want it to be.
Yeah.
So it's just drives me nuts, but, you know.
I know. Like I said, it's if you get a chance to watch the video. It's about an hour and a half long. It goes down some very interesting paths.
I might stick to just watching the Osbournes podcast.
Jack also talks about Amy for a while too, and basically said that he kind of talks shit about her too, and said that they have like no contact with her at all.
That might have been her choice. I don't know. I mean, it probably was her choice, but
he said
it seemed like when she released an album the same year that Patient Number 9 came out.
I think so.
Or maybe it was the year before, but it was around the same time. It was in between Ordinary Man and Patient Number 9, or just around Patient Number 9. And she was doing like photo ops with Ozzy and stuff.
So yeah, he said that Amy has a relationship with her parents,
but not the kids.
Not him or his sister.
Gotcha.
Does not talk to either one of them.
Well, I mean, hey, that happens in all the families. I don't talk to my sister.
That's true. That's true. But did you see the big news recently about the big Marvel Cinematic Universe news?
No, I did not.
And that is that Robert Downey Jr. has not ruled out reprising his role as Iron Man.
Did he ever really rule it out?
No, but he actually said that just recently. He said, never put anything past Kevin Feige. That if I had the opportunity, I'd probably do it.
Yeah. Who's going to turn down that payday?
Yeah. to bring him back as Iron Man?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to cost him at least $50 million. Yeah, that's what he got for, you know, sticking around for as long as he did. Yeah,
I think the problem is, like, if you bring him back,
it
cheapens his death.
It does. I agree. Even if you do it through a multiverse thing, which is probably how they would do it.
Yeah. I don't know how they would play it in, though. Like, they're trying to move on from those characters.
But they're not succeeding.
They're not succeeding.
So it makes sense that they would want to, well, this isn't working. Let's go back, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And, yeah, I think just because, like, yeah, I mean, Thor is one of those legacy characters in the MCU that's still around.
Right.
But he's not pulling in people like Iron Man or Captain America or somebody like that would.
Especially if they're going to put out content that's like, which I still haven't seen, but based on what everyone said, Love and Thunder, you know.
I didn't think it was bad. You know,
you're in the minority.
I know that. I know. I didn't like some aspects of the movie. I didn't like some of the big plot points of it. I didn't like some of the stuff that happened at the end of the movie. But like overall, it was.
I didn't really like the beginning or the middle, and I really had problems with the end. But overall, it was a good movie.
I thought it was an okay movie.
Okay.
I thought it was better than the first two. Well, this is better than Dark World for sure.
Yeah, which to me, Dark World's the one I'm like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah,
you know, it's watchable.
It's better than Dark World.
Ragnarok's my favorite of the three of the four, I guess.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen it for the three that I've seen.
They're I guess the new Matrix movie has been kind of greenlit.
Kind of with new writer and director.
Yes.
So. Where the Wachowski sisters will stay on as executive producers, probably. That's what I read.
And that's the same thing with the sequel to Star Trek Beyond. They brought in new writers.
The Star Trek 4, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. No, because now they're talking about another fucking Star Trek origin story through Paramount as a movie. That was just released this week.
Really?
That they're moving forward with an origin story.
Why?
Because they don't have... Because the people they hired as creatives are not fucking creative. And don't know what the hell they're doing with what they've got.
I would rather see a sequel to Beyond. Because I thought, like, as much as you bitched and complained about the first two Star Trek movies and that...
Beyond was better.
Beyond was the most Star Trek movie of those three.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And even as somebody... I enjoyed the first two movies. They're more like action movies that took place in a Star Trek universe than Star Trek movies.
I would say they're more like a Star Trek done by people who like Star Wars.
They're just like action movies is all they are. Beyond was a lot more of
a Star Trek movie. Right. I totally agree. And Beyond is my favorite of the three.
I like the direction that the three movies were taking. I would love to see them, what they would do in a fourth movie.
Right.
If they would completely blow it up and fuck the whole thing up, or if it would continue on that trajectory to be more Star Trek like,
right?
Yeah.
They can't even keep they struggle to even make their Star Trek show Star Trek like. So that's
true. I would like to see where it went though.
You know, Discovery's just the new season of Discovery just started. There's three episodes and I've only watched the first two. I'm not hating it. You know, it's the last season. I know it's the last season. I have many, many issues with Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
It looks like they may have learned a little bit from their mistakes, but it's kind of a little too little too late in a sense.
Yeah.
But still, I'm going to watch the season. I'm going to enjoy it for what it is because as far as I'm concerned, I don't think their Star Trek has any life left in it.
Yeah.
What life it had was very much in Star Trek Picard season 3, which was awesome, but it was done outside of Alex Kurtzman's purview. He basically washed his hands of Picard and said, here, you do it. And he did, and Terry Metalis took it, did it right, did it well, and everyone loved it. And Alex Kurtzman's like, well, that's not the Star Trek that I want to do. I want to do whatever I've been doing.
Yeah.
Not what people really want. So... Terry Metalis set up the end of Picard with basically as like a backdoor pilot. You could go so much farther with this story. Take some of these characters. You don't take the whole Next Generation cast. You take the new characters and you give them their own show. The fans want it. They've been screaming for it and they're not going to fucking do it. Yeah. You know what they're giving us? They're giving us Star Trek 90210.
It's basically a spent force.
And it doesn't need to be. It's been fucking ruined.
It's the people they brought in.
Yeah.
So it sounds like, I don't know who Steve Yockey is. That's who the writer is they brought in for the sequel to Beyond.
Which I don't think I read that he was going to be moving over to the origin story, but I think he has something to do with the origin story too. So it's possible they maybe brought him in for Star Trek 4 and said, no, let's just do this. And then you see what you can do with this.
Yeah. Also, just recently, Jerry Bruckheimer confirmed that they are doing a Pirates of the Caribbean reboot.
Yeah. With an all-female cast?
Is that what it is?
No.
I hope not. God, I hope not.
It's one of the like joking rumors that it went around for a while.
They're all going to be like minority women?
It'd be a mixture of just women.
Well, I mean,
and the villain will be a white guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, probably middle-aged white guy
because it's Disney, so you know.
So, and which you know, fine. It's all the villains I grew up with were middle-aged white guys, so I'm okay with it. But you know,
most of the villains in real life are middle-aged white guys.
That's very true. Very, very true.
It'd be interesting to see because I think it's gonna be hard. It'd be hard to break away from what Johnny Depp did with the character and in those movies.
I can't see them going and doing a complete reboot. It would have to be something like it's set in the Pirates.
No, they said it's a complete reboot of it.
Well, that's stupid. It hasn't been that long. This idea of rebooting shit every 5 years is stupid.
I know it is. So, I don't know. If and when it gets released, I'll check it out.
But yeah, to be fair, though, I haven't even watched the last two.
Oh, you haven't?
I think I saw bits.
I thought they're pretty good.
Stranger Tides, which was, I think, the fourth one, I did see bits and pieces of, but I wasn't really, it wasn't doing anything for me. I haven't seen Dead Man Tell No Tales, I think was the fifth one. I haven't seen that at all. I haven't seen any of that. So
who is Aaron Taylor Johnson?
He played Quicksilver in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Is he good?
Well, he played Scarlet Witch's brother. He's the one who dies.
Well, he's the new James Bond. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, 100%. He's the new James Bond.
He's been offered the role of the next James Bond.
I think he's American.
Is he?
I think so.
I gotta look him up now. Not you say that.
I don't think he's British. And if they gotta hire a British guy. I don't care what color he is. I don't care if he's transgender, but he's got to be fucking British.
Aaron Taylor Johnson is an English actor.
Oh, I guess he is. Okay.
Yeah, he was born.
I've only ever seen him in everything I've ever seen him in. He's doing an American accent, so that's why I assumed.
Yeah. So, yeah, he is English. So okay. He has been offered the role of James Bond. Nothing has been officially announced. Yeah, I'm glad. And this is going to sound bad when I say this, but as someone who loves the James Bond movies, I am very fucking glad that they did not pick a female for the James Bond role.
They can't.
That was the
rumor. Not to say that they can't do a female. They can do a female MI6 agent in the James Bond universe.
Yeah.
Give her own movie, her own storyline, fine.
Well, they kind of set that up.
Then they set that up. And I really wish that, I think James Bond is rife with story ideas for a shared universe.
Yeah.
And it has been, especially with the Daniel Craig stuff. I don't know why they don't just do that, too, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they can, but, you know, what do we know?
It'd be all right. Because, I mean, I love the way that the Daniel Craig movies ended.
I like that they played out their story completely. I do.
And that's the first time in that franchise that it's happened like that.
So this one will be literally a start over.
Yeah. I mean, and they always were. They were always like,
yeah, they were, but they kind of weren't.
It was always, it was an unofficial, unannounced reboot.
But it always starts with the idea that it's like you're continuing on from where you left off. Yeah. You know, maybe not necessarily a direct storyline, but you know, and which movie was it where they couldn't legally use Blofeld, so they killed him at the very beginning of the movie?
Yeah,
and his helicopter falls into like a nuclear power plant or something. Yeah, I don't know what it was. But that was a Roger Moore film. That was Spy Who Loved Me, maybe. I don't know which one it was. But there were elements of that were tied in because at the very beginning, before Blofeld tries to kill him, he's at the grave of his wife who died in, what was the one with George Lazenby?
Our Majesty's Secret Service?
Yeah, she dies at the end of that one or the beginning. I don't know. She dies in that one. And he's at her grave. So, I mean, that ties over. So there's times and elements that kind of creep into the new version of Bond. But when I watch him, I do watch him as like they're different storylines. Yeah. They're like, this is the Roger Moore James Bond. That being said, the only two that I think work well blending together is going from Timothy Dalton into Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, you know, the way that Living Daylight starts, it's kind of like starting him over because he's still kind of in training. He's doing that training mission, and he hasn't, I don't think, it's implied that he hasn't really gone on any, many missions.
Yeah.
And then, Timothy Dalton's version does the two movies, and then GoldenEye starts, and you can tell the way it's played is that he's full-blown 00 agent, and he's in the mix and been doing missions, but he's still early on in his career.
Yeah.
And that works for me. So I can kind of watch the Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan ones together.
I mean, I don't know. The five Daniel Craig films
are the best.
I
agree.
And Daniel Craig, he's the best James Bond that they've had. I love the darkness that he brought to that
realism.
Role.
It brings a level of realism to
it. Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't the... Yes, there was some campiness to the movies, but it wasn't over...
I feel like they were almost too realistic. And not realistic. Well, campiness in the sense, I guess, in the excessive, like, over-the-top action.
Yeah.
You know, flipping cars over people, that kind of stuff, yes. But overall, the way they're made in a way that's far more realistic than the vast majority of the ones.
Absolutely. Especially the, like the Roger Moore movies, which some of those, as good as they are, some of them are kind of hard to watch.
For
how kind of goofy they are.
You know what's funny is
sliding down a hill in a cello bar.
That was Timothy Dalton.
That was Timothy Dalton.
You know what's funny? The very first James Bond movie I ever remember seeing was A View to a Kill.
Yeah.
And that was like I was seven. So it was right on HBO just around the time it came out. And I watched it. I loved it. And it always had a special place in my heart because it's the first James Bond movie I ever remember seeing. I've watched it again recently, and it is the slowest James Bond movie ever. There's like nothing going on for the whole middle of that movie. And I don't know why I liked it as a kid. I still like it, but it's just like, man, this is... There's nothing going on.
I think the first one I watched was probably GoldenEye, I think.
In 95?
Yeah, I think it was the first James Bond movie I ever saw.
I think I'd seen almost all of the ones up to that point by time 95 came around. So.
And then from like 95 until 2000, I'd seen all of them. I mean,
Right. I like the Pierce Brosnan ones. I do. They're not perfect, but... I think they're still quite enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
I like all of them, but like I said, I watch them all as like separate.
I want to get them on Blu-ray because they've got the whole James Bond set on Blu-ray outside of the new one or the last one.
Well, that's on Blu-ray. It's just not a set.
I know. I have it on Blu-ray. Yeah. I just don't have the rest of the set, which I need to get. But No Time to Die, like I said, it was a great way to end, kind of wrap up Daniel Craig's time as James Bond. I think they did a good job at like, because there was always, even like in Quantum of Solace and Skyfall, which I think Skyfall is the best of them. There was always aspects in those movies that kind of felt like unfinished.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like in No Time to Die, they pulled all that together and kind of wrapped it all up. And they did a good job.
And really, I don't even see Quantum of Solace as a separate movie from Casino Royale. It's really just, to me, it's like...
It is.
It's the third act of that movie.
Yeah, it's a continuation of the same movie, we'll see what happens with James Bond. It's the last movie came out in 2021, so it's only been 3 years.
Right.
So it will be at least another 4 or 5 years.
Well, it
takes
them 2 years to make the fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pre-production.
Why it'll be several years before we see it.
Probably 2027, I think, is the earliest we might see it.
I forgot to look and see how old he was.
He's in his 30s.
He is 33, so... You know, that'd be good because I think that's what they need. They need some, because I know they talked about Idris Elba, and I would love to see him as James Bond, but he's fucking old.
Well, he's in his 50s, right?
I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, late.
It's starting late, and it's not.
Personally, I think Idris Elba would be better off just doing something original. Yeah. Like, give him new stuff because he's quite capable of doing almost anything. So he's done comedy, he does drama, he can do action.
Yeah.
Just give him something else and let him. Let him create his own thing, because I think that's probably far more.
Yeah, but I think that's why it's important, like for Aaron Taylor Johnson to be a younger person, because I think you really need to have, to do it right, you need to have a 10 to 15 year time span to pull in and really commit yourself to the role.
Now,
do
you think
they're
going to sign him to more than 3 movies? Because I think that was kind of the going rate. Like, Pierce Brosnan was signed to 3. Daniel Craig was originally signed to 3.
He ended up doing 5.
He ended up doing 5. I don't know how they worked it with... Timothy Dalton was signed to 3.
And he only did 2.
Roger Moore, I don't know. I don't know how that worked.
Roger Moore did a bunch of them.
7? 7 or 8?
He did 7 of them.
7, yeah. And then Sean Connery did what? 5, 6?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the one official, unofficial one.
I don't count that one.
I don't, neither do I.
But. Well, it's essentially just a reboot of Thunderball anyway. Yeah. We've already seen it, so.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with the whole James Bond thing.
I'm excited. I'm always excited for new James Bond films.
Yeah. I just don't want it to turn into, and I feel like the Daniel Craig movies, It was almost like James Bond meets Mission Impossible meets like the later part of what's the fucking movie with Vin Diesel and the guy that died in the car crash.
The Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious, yeah. Because like there's some of the car chases in those later James Bond movies, the Daniel Craig movies, felt a little Fast and Furious at times.
Yeah, but nowhere near as much.
No, he's not flipping a car through the air or through the side of a fucking helicopter.
And right.
Like the completely unbelievable
jumping
shit.
off of a truck into a car that's jumping over something else, landing perfectly into the seat and shooting at the same time.
Yes.
Literally breaking the laws of physics. Yeah. Not happening.
Not happening.
So no, I don't think it went that far. And the Fast and Furious movies are garbage.
They really are. I like the first movie when it was like a racing movie.
Well, it was a kind of a heist movie,
kind
really.
Of, yeah.
You know, or
yeah.
an undercover cop movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't watched any of the other ones. I've seen enough of them to know I don't want to watch them.
Yeah.
So
there is something coming out that I'm super fucking excited for.
Uh-oh. Is it the Bob Dylan biopic?
Oh, well, that's coming out also. There's a lot of biopics.
And the Beach Boys
the
biopic?
The Beach Boys biopic is coming out, which that looks really good. Well, that's a documentary, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was a biopic. I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
So there's definitely some good documentaries, some good biopics coming out. No. It is House of the Dragon Season 2.
Oh, finally.
It will premiere June 16th. The trailer, there's two trailers that are out. There's a green trailer and a red trailer, I think is the way
they
do it.
So there's the green band and the red band. The green band trailer can be shown on TV at all hours of the
day. No. It's two different sides. So like the green trailer is from... You don't know anything about the show, so it's kind of hard to explain it. So
I mean, I know a bit of it from whatever was talked about in
the green trailer is from the perspective of the dead king's wife.
Okay.
So the queen. It's from her perspective.
Uh-huh.
And then the other trailer is from the dead king's daughter's perspective.
Oh, and they're the competing. They're,
yes, and it looks absolutely fucking fantastic, and I am super fucking geeked to watch
it. It better be. It took them 3 fucking years to get it out.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to come out last year, but because of the strike and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So.
Still, they've had a lot of time to work on it. Yes. So it
and like
be
I said,
it,
I am super fucking excited for it. I really enjoyed season one. I think season one was better than most of the Game of Thrones seasons. Mm.
I don't know. I feel like if I can finally get through Game of Thrones, I don't know if I want to delve into it.
I will say that you don't even need to. You don't have.
I don't
to,
need to.
You don't have
it.
To watch. You don't have to watch Game of Thrones
to watch House
to
of
watch
Dragon.
House
because it's
Dragon.
A prequel. So yes. That makes sense. But it's like I don't know if I want to.
Yeah.
Because I'm having such a hard time just finishing Game of Thrones.
But you know, you said before, like you have an issue with like just how like dark and gruesome.
Well,
Game of
the
Thrones
unnecessary
is.
Brutality of yes. some of it, yes.
And that's not really the case. It's House of the Dragon is not, for the most part,
so
like that.
So what I really like about Game of Thrones, and this is why Tyrion is my favorite character, it's the intrigue, the political machinations, yeah. The playing one side against the other. That's the stuff I like.
And there's that. There's definitely that in House of the Dragon.
And that's what I was going to say. If it's more of that...
Yeah.
Than the other stuff, then I'm on board. I could yeah. probably watch
there's,
it.
There's like the political backstabbing and the whole game and all that stuff. That still exists.
Right. I just felt that it was there in Game of Thrones, and when it was that, it was totally engaged.
Yeah.
But when it was like White Walkers and giants and brutal castrations for no fucking reason at all. I just, you know, and rape, I just, none of that stuff is necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's the issue I had with House of the Dragon, the first season of it, was the whole time jump thing. We don't have that anymore. That's in the past.
Right.
We've kind of moved past that. We're into the second
it
season
jumped,
now.
So
there was like three time jumps in the first season.
All going forward? Or
all going forward.
That's fine. I can deal with going forward. As long as it's not jumping back and forth.
Yeah. And I didn't like the fact, like, I don't know.
I don't like flashbacks.
I don't like that they had the, like, Millie Alcock couldn't play the older character because she's fucking young.
Right. Did you know she got cast as Supergirl?
I did. Yeah. I think we talked about that just recently on the show.
I don't. Well, maybe we did. Yeah. I don't know if we did, but. Yeah.
I think when I was down in Ohio and we were.
Oh, okay.
It was one of those episodes that we did. We talked about that. So, yeah. I think that was the biggest issue I had with that time jump was the fact that they had to change characters. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you lost that the feel of continuity in the story there.
Yeah. Well, at least it happened early on in the season rather than waiting until like season three to do it.
That's true. Yeah. You know? It happened about halfway through the season. So.
Which is better than, like I said, if it happened in like season three, you're going to lose people for sure. Just for that, you know.
I will say that there is still the incesty kind of stuff that's involved in there.
As long as they're not showing it, I guess. If it's implied, I don't care. Yeah. I can look past it. And I'm not bothered by violence, but it's just so much. And it's
over the top in Game of Thrones at times.
And there comes a point where I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to establish a level of realism to it, but. And I've always been a show don't tell kind of guy, but there's certain things that are better if you just mention it.
Yeah.
You know, most people can use their imagination enough. And to be fair, most people's imagination it could be very far worse than anything we're seeing.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's better to just leave it open, let people fill in the blanks the way they want rather than having to show so much of it.
Yeah. So it premieres June 16th. So what am I watching right now? I'm in season two or three, I think, of Community.
Okay. That was going to be my next show, but I think it might be Friends. I haven't completely decided, but I've got to finish New Girl. There's seven seasons of that, and I'm either at the end of season four, or beginning of season five, or I'm into season five. I don't remember where I left off, so.
So yeah, once I'm done with Community, I'll start season one of House of the Dragon again.
Just get ready for it. They're working on the season two of Rings of Power as well.
Yeah, I got to go back through. I only watched I think the very first episode of it.
I didn't watch any of it. I heard it's really good, though.
As much as I like Lord of the Rings, I wasn't really invested into it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because for me, it's like I can get my fantasy fill. That Game of Thrones has, but without all that negativity and brutality, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
There won't. I can't imagine there being any of that in the Lord of the Rings.
No. So I will say, Ian, that is now two episodes in a row where we didn't get to our topic on either one. I will say so. Let me say this. So I'll finish this. I know we're kind of running long. I do want to throw this, and I do want to talk about the future of. The podcast. So we are we're getting closer to the end of season three of the podcast. I think the season three ends in June, I think.
I don't know. I don't keep track.
Somewhere around there. Because we normally, we take a break, like a month and a half break for the summertime, just because there's so much other shit going on and it's hard to fit the podcast into what we're doing. So at the end of season three, we will be kind of rebranding everything. And this is not the first time we've done this. Of course, we started out with the Life in General podcast way back in January of 17. And it went from that to Reality Redefined, which was more like conspiracy-based stuff. And then we went to Entertainment Now, which, of course, is what we've been doing now for the last year or so.
Well, we did Life in General again, too, for a while. We went back to Life in General for a period.
No, that's right. We did.
And the Entertainment Now, we were actually kind of doing together with Life in General initially.
But it was a different format than what we were doing. It was like movie reviews, which was kind of fun. But so moving forward, so we've been doing this podcast now for seven years.
Yeah.
And, at times we've had some traction, but for the most part, last couple of years, we haven't had a whole lot of traction with the show.
In other words, nobody's listening.
I wouldn't say no one's listening, just not a whole lot of people are listening. Right. Like when we first started Life in General, we had a lot of listeners every week. I feel like podcasting has really fucking changed in the last 7 years.
Well, it's very saturated. It's oversaturated.
It was oversaturated 7 years ago. It's to the point now where like it's just hard to get any kind of traction unless you're some kind of like
celebrity.
Right. And even some of them have a hard time getting traction, you know, on you know, starting things up. So we already have this entity called the Vinyl Den, which we already have a built-in base for. So when we come back for, next season, which is starts
August,
beginning of August is when we start. Cause I'm always on vacation the last week of July into August. So we'll start it when we come back. We are going to have a new podcast. It's going to be the Vinyl Den podcast.
That name's not necessarily stuck to. I suggested a title that I like better, but
yeah, but I
that separates it from the other stuff.
But I want to do something that it at least somewhat ties it to the other stuff. I don't know. We'll kind of cross that bridge eventually, but it's going to be more music based. We're still going to talk about other shit, but there will be some kind of music topic
that we won't get to.
Like the last two episodes we haven't gotten to. But it's not going to be family friendly. It's going to be basically the same thing we always fucking talk about. You know, we're going to talk about our own stuff. Like I said, it's going to be more music based though. We'll discuss.
But it will also be video based too.
It's going to be.
Every episode will be video based.
Yeah, every episode will be a video. Because the audio only stuff doesn't get any kind of traction on YouTube. Ian won't be my only co-host.
I've been replaced.
That's okay. I'll do a couple episodes with Ian, and then I'll do a couple episodes with my wife. And I think it'll be interesting because Mandy has a completely different viewpoint on music.
Right. Far more different than ours.
Than us. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. So the way I kind of envision this happening is, you know, every other episode our topic will be some kind of like album review, something newer that's come out that we'll talk about. But we'll talk about stuff that we're listening to. We'll talk about biopics. There will still be entertainment stuff mixed into what we discuss. You know, it'll still be all the same off-topic bullshit that we've always discussed. Ian talking about witch vibrators or whatever.
Witch vibrators?
No, wish.
Witch vibrators.
There was a whole
episode. God, I hope we talk about witch vibrators. That'll keep the show interesting for me.
Wish. There was a whole episode where we talked about all the strange like stuff I kept popping up on my Facebook feed.
We need to do a follow-up on Temu.
Yeah. I've been getting some stuff from Temu lately. So anyway, when we come back in August, it'll be the Vinyl Den podcast. I don't know. We'll see how it goes from there. But, I don't know. I'm excited for it. And that's the whole thing. When we started the podcast, we didn't necessarily start it to do anything. Like, you know, we weren't striving to be the biggest podcast. We were just doing it because we enjoyed doing it. Right. I still enjoy doing it.
Sounded like fun, and then, yeah.
And I still enjoy doing it. I would like to get a little bit of traction out of it, though. So we already have, you know, 7,000 subscribers on YouTube. So it's not going to be in the same YouTube channel, though. It'll be its own separate channel. Right. With its own separate subscribers, all that stuff. So once we get closer to that time, I'll definitely put more stuff on social media about it. But we'll be ending the Entertainment Now Facebook page and all that stuff. But I don't know. Stick around for more updates in the coming weeks, I guess, on that. But,
all five of you.
There's more than five people, I think. Hopefully there is. But but any questions or comments, you can email us at entnowpod@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube and all the other places, Spotify and Apple Music. Leave us a review, and that's about it, man. Anything else to add?
No.
All right. Well, until next time.
Talk to you later.
Peace.
Play my role, let me tell you about it. This shit right here, man, I'm proud about it. Only real niggas reside around me. Yo, lady, drop a card around me. Dip like I know you care, bitch. Show me the rust like we in the ring. Got you two cobras, you wanna hang. Shoulder to shoulder, the niggas basic. You know I won't lie. You know that I ain't for that fuck shit. You niggas alright, but I'm way better and she love it. Know that y'all sick as fuck. Here go this tissue, bruh. We taking the dub, hoping you get you some. This here like a pick me up. She taking my drugs. Know they see the sign. That's some dollar signs. Know they sick as fuck. Know they sick as fuck. Tell them get well soon. Tell them get well soon. Know you sick as fuck. Get well soon. Oh shit. Watch out, you the god, Billy. Oh shit. Right now, and I'm smiling in your
We mash at the party, they hate when we styling.